Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
There's been a change in how court debt is being collected statewide, and Marion County will be taking a hit. Let's go in-depth with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull. Ed, I understand that there's a change in how court debt is collected statewide. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, Bob, first and foremost, thanks for having me on. It's great to have the opportunity to speak with you. I think we have to go back in time for a moment and talk about how things previously worked. An individual was convicted of an offense and they were fined. That money would be due to the clerk of court in the county in which the fine was ordered. And for the first 30 days, the clerk of court would attempt to collect that debt. Primarily, it meant that a person would come into the clerk of court's office and pay it, or send in a check, or go online and pay by via credit card. However, after 30 days, if that debt wasn't paid, it would be sent out to the centralized collections unit, known as CCU. They then had the opportunity to try to collect that debt for 60 days. At the 90-day mark, if that debt was still unpaid, it would be sent back to the county level, if the county chose to do so, and be collected by county attorney's offices. And that's what Marion County and many counties, I believe 50 other counties in the state of Iowa, had their program set up to do. So after 90 days, that debt would come back, and then we would attempt to collect on that debt, set people up with payment plans, have show cause hearings, have the potential, though we haven't done it, garnish individuals' wages if they owe money. And that was the way the system worked. Then, starting July 1st of this year, it changed. It changed in the way in which the fact that the money isn't going to come back to the counties any longer for collection. The money for the first 30 days would still be collected by the clerk of court. And then after the 30 days, instead of going to CCU, it's going to an out-of-state debt collection firm.
Out-of-state debt collection firm. Okay, and then so I presume there was some incentive for the county to gather these funds after that second period, that the funds would be used by the county?
What would happen is that we entered into a contract with the state of Iowa. I'm the first person to recognize this isn't my money. This is the state's money. We're just having an opportunity to collect it. But in return for having the county use its resources to have individuals collect the money, there was a split of the revenue that was generated. 60% still went to the state, so pretty good deal for the state of Iowa. They didn't have to do any work whatsoever. The counties were carrying the water. They got 60% of the money. But the counties got 40% of the money that was collected. So for every $100, $40 went into the county's general fund. So based on what has occurred after July 1st, since they're going to send this out to this debt collection firm out of state, the counties aren't going to receive any money, or significantly less money than it ever did before.
And so how much money are we talking about? How much came in, say, last year via this program?
Last year, the Marion County Attorney's Office, on behalf of the state of Iowa, collected about $300,000. We put $100,000 into the county's general fund.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. The reality is there's a lot of people who get fined and don't pay their debts to the clerk of court. I mean, in Marion County, historically, I believe we are in the $9 to $11 million range of unpaid debt, jail fees, and restitution. Now, I include restitution in that because our system is set up that when people are owed money because they've been the victim of a crime, they're paid first. And so we don't get any of that money, just to be clear. It goes 100% to the victim, but we're talking millions upon millions of dollars.
Okay, so, and this is everything from criminal fines to maybe if I get a speeding ticket in the county?
Correct. Anything that's been ordered, you've been ordered to pay in a criminal context, you will pay a fine to the clerk of court. The other thing to keep in mind, Bob, and this isn't a good deal for the individual who owes the debt either, because one of the ways that the state of Iowa is funding this program. It's, let's use that example of $100. You owe $100. When it gets sent to the outside debt collection firm, they're able to tack on an additional 25% surcharge, and that's how they get paid. So the state of Iowa still gets their $100, but the debt collection firm gets 25, and now you, as the delinquent individual, now owes $125. So it's not a great deal for the county. It's not a great deal for the individual who owes money either.
And it's $25 that's Iowa money that's going out of state now.
Yeah, they've signed a contract. My understanding, and I may be wrong about this, with a law firm from the state of Texas.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull. Now, why did the state do this? How did it happen? Was the county not doing a good job, or was there some other motivation?
It's the position of the county is that there is no better debt collection firm than your local county attorney's office. The reality is the state judiciary is in a budgetary shortfall. They are millions of dollars short to run their programs. And so as a result, they needed to generate revenue. And I think they determined, hey, this is money that we can get, we might as well just take it. But the bigger problem, Bob, is how they went about passing this legislation.
How did they go about passing it?
Well, as most folks know, you have a legislative process that has checks and balances and opportunity, whether or not you like it or not, lobbyists to weigh in and have a chance to really vet legislation. And that's why you always hear, and you may talk about in some of your programs, the funnel. How bills have to be through this stage by this date, and then by this stage by this date, and then it has to be debated on the other side of the legislative aisle, so to speak, and then it goes to the governor for signature. And it's a lengthy process. It takes months upon months sometimes to get a bill. Sometimes year to year, legislative priorities don't get passed. But that's not what happened with this bill. This bill was unique. There was no debate. There was no discussion. This bill didn't even come to formation until there was about 45 minutes left in the legislative session. And then the state clerk, the judiciary branch, added it to the standings bill. And if you keep in mind what happens on the very last day of a legislative session, my understanding is there's legislators who want to go home. They got to pass the final bill, get the budget taken care of, do those type of things. And it was added at the very last minute as part of the standing bill, which, you know, is commonly referred to by legislators as the Christmas tree bill, because it's your last opportunity to add an ornament to it. And it's just a hodgepodge of different things that didn't get passed. And unfortunately, it's the counties that suffer.
Well, it's just hard for me to believe that the system is such that the legislators aren't paying attention at the last minute and everybody knows it. And so then they put this stuff together for the Christmas tree bill, and then the legislators still ignore it? I guess it sounds like the whole legislature's asleep at the wheel that last day.
Well, I can tell you, I'm proud to say our legislators didn't work for it. Amy Sinclair didn't vote for it on the Senate side. So I wouldn't say they're asleep at the wheel. The reality is it was presented as we have a budgetary crisis in the judiciary branch. You haven't solved this problem. Here's an opportunity to do it, and it doesn't cost any taxpayers additional money. So pass this. I mean, I think if that's the way it's sold to you, that we have a multi-million dollar shortfall and we can pay for the judiciary on the backs of criminals who owe money, then that's a good way to do it. And I think that's the way it was sold. And the reality is, if you do it at the last minute, there's no one who's checking your numbers and there's no one on the other side. I mean, the County Attorneys Association, as well as the county's association, ISAC, were adamantly opposed to this legislation once it came to be known what it was, because it's the counties who truly have suffered.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull.
But does it solve the judiciary's problem? Does it really solve it? I thought the judiciary problems were very severe. Does this meet them?
Well, they seem to think it does. And some of this is artificial. They're millions of dollars of shortfall. They seem to think that if this collection firm collects at this percentage of rate, it will be able to fund the judiciary branch. And I'm not an actuary. Perhaps, you know, with some really fuzzy math, they are able to do that. But the reality is, this debt collection firm, the state tried this before. Long before we had the process in place that had the money to go back to the counties and be collected by the county attorneys, it was sent to an outside debt collection firm. And it wasn't working. That's why they passed the previous bill to send it back to the county level. There is no question. It's just common sense. If you're an individual who owes fines, owes debt, and you get another letter in the mail from a state of Texas debt collection firm, and you get a letter from your county attorney in the county that you live in, who are you more likely to pay attention to?
Me, the county attorney, because I'm thinking the sheriff or a deputy is going to show up at my door.
Well, and I don't mean it in that way, because clearly we're not strong-arming people into paying. What we found to be true is that for most folks, if you can work with them and develop a common sense approach to their issues, there are some people out there who owe tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. I recognize we are unlikely in the near term to find that money. But one of the things that we were able to do is we were able to help people get their driver's license back. For most folks, if you lose your driver's license, it's because you owe money. Well, then what happens? You get caught driving on a suspended license. That costs you more money. And then, of course, it extends your suspension of your driver's license. Each time you get picked up for another driving while suspended, you lose your license for another 180 days in the process. Well, one of the things that the Department of Transportation allows the County Attorneys or County Attorneys to do is to allow that individual to work out a payment plan with the county attorney to get their driver's license back sooner and allow them to have the opportunity. Also, one of the things that's in the code is if you owe court debt, you can't register a vehicle. You can't get your license plates. So one of the things that we're able to do is get people signed up on a payment plan, allow them to get their driver's license back sooner, allow them to register vehicles. And that was one of the benefits, I think, and I recognize there's people out there who may not agree with me, who may not think that we're, you know, friendly when we're collecting debt. Don't get me wrong. But there were some really good benefits. We were collecting money that previously hadn't been collected. We were helping folks get their driver's license back and get their driver's license reinstated. We were helping folks be able to get their license plates back. And at the same time, we were ensuring that victims of crime were being made whole. It was a great program, and now it's going to change drastically. But, Bob, most severely to me, or the worst part of this to me, I guess more accurately stated, is the timing of it. Keep in mind that when the county goes through its budgetary process, we're certifying our budget for the next fiscal year in March or April. So all the counties across the state of Iowa thought, and I think reasonably so, it was an educated process and decision-making, that we were going to see similar numbers this next fiscal year as we saw last fiscal year. Because no one told us this bill was on the horizon. So county governments, expecting to receive this money, making budgetary allocation, then is told on July 1st, sorry, you're not going to see that money. And for Marion County, it's probably, I was anticipating probably about $140,000. I hope to be 40% more efficient than we were the previous year. We made some structural changes in my office to hire a full-time debt collection individual. And then after the budgets are certified, after the counties are anticipating receiving a certain amount of money, they change the rules. They change the rules of the game midway through it. And for Marion County, like I said, it's about $100,000. For some other counties, Polk County, Pottawatomie County, Linn County, you're talking millions of dollars now that counties aren't going to see and had no idea this was going to happen.
Well, and on the other end of things, maybe the poorer counties needed their even smaller fraction even more than the more wealthy counties.
I think that's a fair statement. I know there were about 50 county attorneys that were participating in this program. I don't know how many smaller counties than ours participate in this program. It was an incredible undertaking to start this process. It required a real commitment from my Board of Supervisors to allocate me individuals to be able to work on a part-time basis, and that's what we did last fiscal year. I don't know how many smaller counties were participating, but I think you're right. If you were expecting $15,000 and you're on one of the smallest counties in the state, that's equally as painful as losing $2 million if you're Polk County.
Can anything be done? We've got another legislative session coming up at the beginning of the year. Any plans that you hear about in the works?
Well, we lobbied the governor very extensively. So did the County Attorneys Association as well as the Counties Association to line item veto that portion of the bill. He did not choose to do so. However, he did indicate he was aware of this concern. He wanted to have some joint sessions and have some discussions about what has occurred. And we're optimistic that we will be able to have fruitful conversations. The reality is, you know, me speaking solely for myself, I think it's unlikely once the state gets a hold of money that they're going to give it back to the counties. But I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that perhaps we'll have some conversations. I don't know where it's going to go.
Thanks to Ed Bull for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.